during worship, I ask God, what is the, what is, if I can leave you with one thing, what is that picture? Because I believe I don't want to sound like melodramatic, even though I am a little bit. But if this is the only message that I can bring again, what do I want you to have? So this is before the message. I just want to speak of this one thing. So maybe ask somebody, Demi, what is your most prized possession? Just not spiritual, like physical. I'm asking of a physical thing that you really prize or adore. To whom would you give your wedding band to a child? Allow them to take care of it. Tani Jenny, what is the thing that you value most? Would you give that to somebody you know might neglect it? Why not? So we have an object like a ring, which symbolizes something. We have family. And then when we look at Scripture, it speaks of the darling of heaven, God's most valued son. And I want us I need to remind myself of to think of his provision, that God is in control the whole time. But the most important thing, the most perfect, beautiful, with no faults. It speaks of when, what's this guy's name? I can't remember his name, but 1300s in the Catholic Church, he spoke of God's, the God being the being with, like there's no bends, there's no crevices, there's nothing that can make a shadow. It's pure. So Christ is eternally good, eternally beautiful. There's nothing. He is eternally valuable. And God the Father says, I will give you to humankind. I saw Liana looking at Cecilia. That's Cecilia's daughter. And whilst she was singing, all Liana could do was just, I said, that's her main job, is just looking at Cecilia. It's such a place of vulnerability. And God says, my son, who is perfect, I will give you to a people who have shown themselves to be unfaithful, untrustworthy. And I will make you a baby. I will let a girl of 15 years old look after you. You will be vulnerable. But I am in control the whole time. Nothing will happen to you that is outside of my control. It's that place of vulnerability. I was just amazed. Like, it's a place of vulnerability and yet completely within God's control. That is glorious. That a little person that vulnerable, Jesus wasn't different. He was born like us, and yet, like, he was breastfed, close to mom, not being able to do anything, yet completely in the will of God. God being completely delighting in His Son. So, if there's one thing that you remember this morning, that's glorious. It's difficult to describe that. The words that I say can't really take home this picture, but you have to see Liana looking at her mother. You have to be a mother to know that tenderness, that vulnerability, and you have to be like this. It's so complicated, and yet it's glorious. Okay, so I just took up 10 minutes. Great. Take hold of that, because this is going to be a ride. Lord, amen. I'm just going to quickly go through, because the past 3 weeks, God's been speaking to us about being known for love and returning to our first love. Ratif's first message is in Revelations 2, verse 1 to 7, it speaks of the church of Ephesus and Jesus. These are actually the only letters that Jesus writes. Jesus writes it to the churches. And that's anyway. And he says to us, remember, repent, and do. Put me at my rightful place. He wants to be our priority. You can go to the next slide. And then we see, then when Johan brought the message of humility, what is our posture? Sorry, people, that's my PC is. Anyway, then we spoke about humility, and last week Ratif spoke of honesty. Like, honesty is the starting point to live in truth and let the truth guide us. We can't have a relationship with the person who knows everything of us, who sees us completely, and yet hides certain things. Not too long ago, in the beginning of the year, something happened. Our door blew off. Anyway, that's a long story. I'm not going to hear. Literally, our door blew off, and I replaced the door whilst in the wind. So, and then when Karine came back, she said something to me that hurt me. I got hurt. And I dealt with it. That's the problem. I dealt with it because God has given me the grace to deal with offenses in a godly way. The problem is, I dealt with it, but the relationship still, it was still under the carpet. Like, I dealt with it, I was free, my wife didn't know what happened, and in our relationship, I just kicked it under the carpet. So, everything was great, except for the fact that there's this thing that we haven't really spoken about. And we went to like this camp, and God spoke to me clearly that those things are still hidden in your relationship. Because of those hidden things, even though you are free, the relationship will be under attack because of things that are not brought into the light. So honesty has brought a lot of freedom in our relationship, because now we now have sessions where we can speak to one another and just have the freedom to actually say what you experienced without the fear of reaction, because that's important. So honesty has brought really a lot of freedom. Okay. So that's just the basis of what we are building on today. And I think the the primary thing that I wanted to focus on this morning with that picture of Jesus being so vulnerable is, who was Jesus' first love? Umiwan, who was Jesus' first love? Was it not us? No, I'm asking. Who says the Father? Who says us? I think when we look at Jesus and his relationship with the Father, the relationship between Jesus and the Father is different than Jesus and us, because the Father is pure. There's no in spite of. Jesus doesn't love the Father in spite of his sin, in spite of his rejection, in spite of whatever. Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit are in a complete agreement about all things. The love is pure. There's no hidden areas. There's no carpet between God the Father and God the Son. His love towards us is different, though. But that gets... God deals with that. So, we see that Jesus' first love is the Father. But the object of that love is... we are the object of that love that he lives out. And instead of just asking it, the species, sorry, people. Lord, be healed. Anyway, just for time's sake, I think the greatest thing that Jesus did for us was dying on the cross. But the question is not so much, we all know that he died, right? It's truth. Why did he die? Like what? Yeah. Did he die on the cross because it would save us? Or did he die because God said, you must die for the innocent? The innocent must die for the guilty. He was obedient, and therefore, he had to die. Like, even if that was the only thing that was required, it had to come from a place of obedience. And that obedience that led to Jesus dying is the glory that was brought forth. In John 17, verse 1 to 4, we see Jesus is praying this just before going to the cross. And he says, he looked towards heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Jesus' ultimate purpose. We received the benefit of his sacrifice. But the purpose was to bring God glory. God asked his Son, or he sent him to earth. He lived a life of complete obedience, and he did everything the Father did, and we benefited from that. But the ultimate goal was to glorify God. That is the only reason Jesus did this. His love for the Father led him to be obedient, but is that place, it all goes to one place of bringing glory to the Father. And Jesus says it there. even before going to the cross. We spoke about just before, because of the glory set before him. George spoke about going through the process of that tough process. And it was about the glory. And we can see that, I think it's in Isaiah. What does the angels that look at God say the whole time? Yes. Holy, holy, holy. And what is the earth full of? Not its holiness. God is holy. He's in perfect control. But our perception of how that is displayed is the glory of God. When we look at Revelations, before we start speaking of, before Jesus sends that letter to us, that whole Revelation 1 and Revelation 22, it speaks of hearing the word, seeing what I've taught you, doing. It's all these sense things so that the glory of God may be manifest. Okay, this thing is dead. Can you just go on to the next slide, please? God speaking about himself. It says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God himself saying, it is for his glory. This whole process, it is for God. He is the, if you can put it, showman. We are just, it's like trying to describe the rainbow without using colors or adverbs. It's, light shone through water. That's what it is. But there's so much more. And it's God just, it's the splendor, it's the array that we are looking on. And Ezekiel the prophet says, the glory of the Lord was standing there, the glory I had seen. God's glory is visible. Just go on, please. I've got nothing yet. And it's just John Piper speaking of the glory of God. He says, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. So we have a God who has done everything for his glory, sending his son, and Jesus obeying everything and producing the glory. And we as his disciples, if we are living as a disciple, would we not follow the very things that Jesus is doing? If Jesus, in obedience, displayed the glory of God, then we as his disciples, who hear from him, would also establish the glory of God. Can we go on? Okay. And then if we as a church, so we're going from Jesus to his disciples to his church. As a church, then, God is speaking to us to establish his glory, because the combination of the disciples is his church. And there's actually scriptures, yes. Jesus is asking us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll just see from where these commandments come. And we say, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And then this is the key area where Stephen spoke about the key is the Holy Spirit. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. He will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking what is mine, just Jesus, what the commandments he has received, and disclose it to you. So we receive the very commands from God which will establish his glory. Jesus receives from the Father, the disciples receives the commands from Jesus, and we receive it from the Holy Spirit. So we see that us being obedient to what the Holy Spirit says is exactly the same as God, as Jesus being obedient to what the Father says to establish his glory. There is no difference. So, the reason I share this message, I think it was on, you can go to the next one. Yeah. Jesus is speaking to the church about this first love. And we see that Jesus says, I see all your works. You're doing great things. You are making all the, for me, like when I read it, it says, you make all the right noises. The structures are in place. Church is amazing. People are starting at 9 o'clock, finishing at 11. People are going to Bible school. It is amazing. And yet God says, but where is my power? When I read when Jesus asks of us, return to your first love, what he is asking, what he is saying is the words that Paul says, for my kingdom is not in words, but in power. When God sent his son, even though the prophets has read it like in the Old Testament, they knew it. It was still impossible for them to perceive that this is, how is this like possible? The incredible power of God to send his son in that vulnerable form, born from a virgin. So on 26 May, I receive a lovely WhatsApp from Retief. He says, I've received this scripture of Revelation 2, and it has been confirmed at intercession and with other leaders. Pray into it. It was one of the, Karine was away at a women's conference, so I had a lot of time to worship and just spend time doing things that I can't do, but for other reasons, but so I was meditating on the scripture, and I was offended by the scripture, to be honest. Luckily, Jesus says offenses will come. It was in scripture. It was still hanging in scripture. Offenses did come, but now I'm looking at the scripture. I'm saying, God, you are saying you have something against me. Like the word specifically, it speaks of. He will turn away if we don't do this thing. And so now I'm trying to make excuses for our church. I'm saying, but now I'm trying to see, are we even close to Ephesus? Because if Jesus is speaking to us that we must return to our love, we must at least almost resemble this church. But so now I'm going through this, and I'm seeing, oh my goodness, this. Sure, Lord, we need some help. And as I'm praying into this, God comes and he points to this week, my week that has gone by. And he brings two areas to front where my wife, like, that was a very busy week. So I had to book time for my wife. So I know, like, this is, Petri, you have an hour or 2 hours here that you can speak to your wife. Use it. Okay, so Thursday came. Wait, go back. Go back. Come on. Okay, just by the by, I know my wife really loves the fact that she's now on screen. But the guy that you saw there, he looks a bit different than the guy. Like, if you put myself and Corinne there, there's a different. Look at that. Have any of you seen me smile like that ever? Me neither. But that guy understood something or saw something that a week prior to that, he didn't even know of, to be honest. I can tell you the story of my what that happened, but that will impede on the time we have. But that guy was blind, and then suddenly he saw. Corinne didn't change. But what God said to me about what I should look at changed. Suddenly my glasses, I took it off and I could see. So the same Corinne, there was nothing different about Corinne. Corinne was completely, it was strange for her. My behavior was very strange to Corinne. Because there was nothing. She didn't do anything, and yet I was different. But before we get there, this is the reason we need to get there. Because that's 2008. Move 10 years on, Pietri is definitely not hanging onto his lady like he did there. He's not smiling. He needs marriage enrichment. He's not smiling like that anymore. And it's not about that I changed or Corinne changed. It's just the process. Like I told Retief this morning, he gave me a word. And I said, like, when you are in the midst of the struggle, we are unable to discern the beauty of the process. All you are is... either you're clenching, you're just like, I'm just going to go through this. But you're unable to like put yourself just on a pedestal and see, no, Pietri, this is actually good for you. No, this is great. And 10 years on, in this week, God showed me two opportunities where you could have chosen your wife. Nothing would have changed about the functions or the responsibilities you had. You could have chosen your wife. But Thursday comes, and the time I'm set out for her, I'm like, Corinne, I have a worship set that has not even started. So I'm walking through the house with my guitar on me whilst it's time to speak to her. I was like, my wife, but it was late. Like literally on a Thursday, it's a bad time to only start to have a worship set. So I'm busy with my worship set, and later on I can see Corinne is like, there's a bit of anger there. So we didn't really have that good interaction. But like, I was busy. I had stuff to do. Come Friday, she asked, the kids need to be ready. They need to go to Somerset West. And I'm busy. I'm working from home. And now Corinne is coming. Corinne is saying, get this kid stuff ready. I'm coming. Anyway, so it's go, go, go. But in that moment, I could have chosen it just for that half hour to connect with my wife, because I wouldn't have seen her again for the rest of this weekend. But no, I was like, I'm going to work. Like, I can do the kid stuff, and then I just sat in front of the PC because I had work to do. What God showed me is that in that moment, everything was working, and yet that guy has replaced relationship with routine. He wanted to do this stuff. Corinne will understand. I've worked. It's not that she's not important. I have work to do. And yet God is showing to me clearly, nothing would have changed about the outcome of the week. I would still be able to do my work. But I replaced relationship with my routines. Things are working. And like we've got lovely systems and things work. But if that becomes a supplement, or if the reason why it starts working becomes the foundation, that you just want it, you don't want the drama. If you're not concerned about the relationship, you only want the good thing. That is, like, it took a long time to have those good things, and yet now I'm only interested in having not go through the process. And God speaks to me that I must go back to my first love. So then I'm like, okay. So then you have to go through the process of Revelations 2:4. You have to repent. So God, I'm sorry. So I repent. And then I remember from where I have fallen. Look at those photos. Where I have fallen from. And then the word says, you must do the things. So God, my wife was a bit upset when I told her that. But so now I'm like, okay, my wife likes flowers. My wife likes letters. And then I'm reminded, well, let me go through the letters that I have sent her before. Because isn't that a good thing? Maybe I could just copy and paste something of old Pietri. Why not? So I went through them and it's humiliating. Like literally I can't give anybody these, like it is not for public consumption, these letters. Other people can't read it. And I see a lot of the same things coming up, and I'm speaking about how I love you and what it is about you, and I'm describing my wife and why she's beautiful and how, and I've come and I see this guy that wrote these things, because that's what God said yesterday. Oh, that's what I like in my preparation is, even if I took that very same copy. So if I just copied it, it would have still been a lie. We can't just copy what we see other people do, other people's relationship with Jesus, and say, you're so desperate for that connection. I'm so desperate to be there again. Let me just throw out letter number 4 and see what happens. God wants me to have a personal relationship with my wife. Well, I have one. But you require a personal relationship. I can't do what Wim Johan does. Even though it works perfectly for him, it won't work for me. God wants to know me. He says that if you love me, it's not when you do the commandments, it will mean you love me. No, it's first. If you love me. Am I beautiful to you? Am I good? Are you smiling like that foolish grin on Pietri's face? Can you remember when you used to think of me like that, Pietri? Can you remember when you were satisfied with just being close to me? Not the house, not everything that has been added. Can you remember when you were satisfied with only me? God speaks to me and then like I said, I had to make a grand gesture. So I painted the wall. But then what I did is like, pretty much that's what I did. I bought paint. Cardboard paint. Because instead of just writing one letter, no. We have a whole wall upon which I now can write letters to my wife. You can just go to the next one. So now that thing is there in our hallway. It's big. and the kids want to write on it, and I'm not happy with that. So I've stopped them. But that is me and my wife. Me just telling her, I love you. You are enough for me. And that's what Christ wants. When he says, return to our first love, are you satisfied with me? I want you to be at that place again. You can know everything. You can make the right noises. But if the power, compassion, generosity isn't there, I'm not there. So, through this past 3 weeks, we've spoken about returning to our first love. And my heart is that we must reflect on where we are with our relationship with God. Have we become accustomed? Are we a mature Christian with mature feelings, with mature words? When Jesus sent out his disciples into the towns, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and then preach the gospel. Pietri, or church, do the things that display your love for me. Before you start speaking about your love for God, do the things. Remind yourself of that time when Christ was beautiful. Because he has not changed. The reason why that guy, like that photo of me and my wife, I asked God, what am I looking for? I recognized I was looking for the wrong thing. So I asked him, what must I look for in a wife? So he said, look for this. And then I looked at that, and then I looked at Karina and I said, I want that. Let's get married. I didn't have money for the ring, but that's another thing. But Karina didn't change. And I want you to remind you that God hasn't changed. The same God, that image of Liana, he's in complete control. He has not let you go. He has not neglected you. He has not left you alone. He is still at work for his glory. I want us just to remind ourselves that it is for his glory. My wife feeling loved, it's for the glory of God. Because a healthy marriage, a functional marriage, an effective marriage, is one that can establish the kingdom. To take ground where the enemy has come in with lies. And win it back. But it needs to be in love. And I want to encourage you the same way that I went and read, or when I reflected on my relationship with Karine. Like, God, what did I do? Can you remind me of my relationship? And then going to the letters. Might be a bit weird, but I could connect it to reading the Word. If you don't know what God loves, if you have trouble, we have a whole book that says, this is what I love, this is what I enjoy. And then you can be honest, like Retief said, and then, oh God, I don't want to do this. But remember, honesty is just a starting place. You go from duty to delight.
through His Spirit, He can make this new. That old wall that was just a boundary for a room is now a publication for my love for my wife. God can use anything, but allow Him. Allow Him to be glorified in your midst. The Spirit will lead you. The truth will guide you. But that will be the place where you show your love to God. And we're stuck with this amazing scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. If taking a sip of water can bring God glory, if the most basic tasks that you can do, God can receive glory in that, then the most difficult thing, the most complicated thing, if your work is, if you're a neuroscientist, if the most basic thing can bring God glory, then the most difficult thing can bring God glory. All of it. A simple gesture like touching my wife's hand. Nobody might see it. My wife receives love. The most basic gesture, but it is for her. It is because I want to love her. Because I see her. And I want to remind her that I recognize it. She is beautiful. So I think, can we just close our eyes? Lord, as we just sat under Your word this morning, God, we recognize, Lord, that Jesus, You left the glory of heaven. In obedience, You gave it up. Lord, the word says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, Lord. Lord, the joy set before us this morning is the glory of God. That He might be glorified in our midst, that He might be made known, that His power will be manifest, not because of words or structures or programs, but that it become manifest through the power, Lord, the dunamis power that we spoke of, Lord, where the Holy Spirit just speaks into an area, Lord. Deliver us, Lord, like Stephen said, Lord, completely free, Lord. Years of oppression being freed. That's glorious, God. But Lord, so often, God, we've become mature, Lord. Mature in our thinking, mature in our adornment of You, Lord. Are we willing to be foolish again for You, Lord? God, I want to be foolish for You. I want to drink that cup of water, Lord, for Your glory, Lord. But Lord, we want to be obedient, Lord, and we want to be willing, Lord. We humble ourselves like we once said, God. Jesus, You took that ultimate place of humility, Lord. So, Lord, Yeah, Lord, Lord, I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit will come and remind us now. Is there an area where we feel powerless to see God's glory? Where we feel defeated? Where we've become mature? Holy Spirit, come and remind us. If it's in our relationship with our spouses, Lord, if it's in relationship with our family, Lord, if it's at work, Lord, if it's that guy, Lord, on the road, Lord, that's just constantly standing there and asking for money, Lord. Or like Dominique said, just the hunger, those who are hungry, Lord. God, we feel like, yeah, Lord, come and remind us, those areas, Lord, where we don't see Your glory, God. Does anybody experience such thing? Can anybody think, can you think of such an area just in this moment where you don't see the glory of God? Just raise your hands, please. I just want to... Lord, I thank You, God, that Your Spirit reveals these things to us. But it's the same Spirit, Lord, by which, Lord, we will overcome, God. And Lord, Revelation says, Lord, that if you do these things, those who are become victorious, Lord, will eat from the tree of life, Lord. So, God, we pray, Lord, for those hands that will be that were lifted up, God. God, those areas, Lord, where the glory is still not seen, Lord. Holy Spirit, show us Your beauty in that place, God. God, how can we display the glory of God, Holy Spirit? This is not our work, Lord. God, we just come against our own agenda. We come against our own works. And we say, Lord, Holy Spirit, show us. We want to put You first, be satisfied in You. We want to love You so that Your glory can manifest there, Lord. Amen.
Just maybe in that place, there was just so much life in, just with your eyes closed, just so much life in the bold step of faith and obedience to the Word of God, where Pietri, as a picture, just went in and painted a wall. He took a bold step, and just with all eyes closed, Holy Spirit, just show us in our lives, just where, in accordance with the Word that God is speaking to us as a church and maybe individually, and then as the Holy Spirit comes with conviction, where can we paint a wall and write You a letter again? It's such a potent picture in this season for returning to our first love, Lord. And so, Lord, as Peter said, it is not a one-size-fits-all, but come and just give us, just reveal to our hearts, where can we take a bold step to paint a wall and to write You a letter, to connect with You again as You constantly write fresh words and fresh letters to us, Your church. We thank You and we honor You for that, Lord. Inspire us just to walk in this beautiful relationship with You in line with the Word and highlight it and ram it by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.